This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, Thursday afternoon, August 22nd. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. A survey from U.S. News and World Report looks at spending on pets. We'll discuss the massive amount in our next segment. But right now, with the Democratic Convention in town and with the fall election quickly approaching, politics is a hot topic. But you may want to consider zipping your lip while at work. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park Business Line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Michelle Reisdorf, Chicago jobs expert with the Robert Half Company in Chicago. Michelle, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like we may be in for a refresher course when it comes to politics and professionalism in the workplace, because the last time, Michelle, we had a presidential election cycle, most of us were working at home.
Right, exactly. And not in a space where, you know, opinions were thrown out and comments were made that, you know, might sometimes, you know, just stir the pot while you're at work.
And one other complicating factor or contributing factor, and we discovered this a little bit when that return to office push, the initial one, took place in 2021 and 2022, and that is the coworker you remembered from February of 2020 may be a very different person when they return to the office, because they might have spent the last 18 months just mainlining social media and the stimulus that comes with it, and they could be very torqued when they talk about politics when they may have been pretty laid back before.
No, absolutely. I think you bring up a really great point, Rob. And, you know, a lot of people are just in a different place after coming through the pandemic. Some people have changed jobs. They've changed feelings about the workplace. They've changed, you know, opinions about multiple things. And you're correct in saying that, you know, what you thought you knew about somebody before might be a subject that's very sensitive today.
Now, I worked at two talk radio stations over the course of my career, Michelle, and we went through election season, and even though the on-air hosts were very opinionated about politics, that was their job, I don't remember it being as in your face in 2004 and 2008 as it is today in any workplace in America. And it seems like that social media is a reason why, because when it used to be just you know, be a professional, go in and do the job, but thanks to Instagram and Facebook and TikTok, you're the star of your own show, and that includes during working hours. And what do you do about that as a manager who has to keep everybody working together?
Yeah, you know, again, another great point, Rob, is that the news is so fresh and constant streaming to us. And I think as a manager, you have to have some controls in place, not only about the amount of time that is spent on social media or discussing social media in the workplace, but also really just talking to your employees about what can be divisive or offensive to someone else, and keeping those conversations out of the workplace. You know, also as a manager, very difficult, but sometimes you've got to address someone who doesn't feel like they're hurting anybody's feelings, or they have rights, you know, to their feelings or opinions. Just how to be cautionary in the workplace when topics like that come up, or even just simply reading the news, or like you said, you know, talking about what's on social media.
Also, is it entirely possible that maybe a lot of this that we saw in 2020 could have burned itself out, and that there was a great deal of intensity 4 years ago because of the pandemic and because of the racial justice protests and just because of the seemingly apocalyptic nature of that election 4 years ago, that everybody was on a boil, and that maybe now in 2024, a lot of people might have taken their foot off the gas?
Yeah, no, you know, definitely the last 4 years have been very interesting in all aspects of how we work, what we do, what our opinions and thoughts are. And, you know, yes, there's been highs and lows for everyone in that response. You know, I think as employees, as employers, as managers, we just have to be sensitive to that. We have to keep our eyes and ears open to that. We have to have conversations that maybe we didn't have 4 years ago or we have to have now. And make sure that we're just keeping workplaces that are positive and cohesive and team building and, you know, where everyone's opinions are valued.
Michelle Reisdorf, Chicago jobs expert with the Robert Half Company in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A new survey from U.S. News and World Report finds just how far pet owners will go when it comes to spending on their treasured furry friends. We're joined by Erica Giovanetti, reporter for U.S. News and World Report based in Washington. Erica, thank you for joining us today. And when it comes to our furry friends, we will pay any price and bear any burden to keep them safe and happy.
You know, that is pretty much, you hit the nail on the head. An overarching theme of our survey is that we found that people aren't really taking out vast amounts of debt for human-grade dog food or cat birthday parties. By far, the most common culprit was vet bills, in particular, emergency visits. So although it's easy to kind of be like, people are overspending on their pets, it really does boil down to them wanting to keep them healthy. And in fact, 3/4 of pet owners went into debt to save their pet lives.
Right. I mean, this is not a discussion about people spending exorbitant sums on Halloween costumes for their dog. I think we all have stories about someone who has a pet in their life, a dog or a cat. And when that pet does, you know, first off, functionally, everyone sees the pet as a member of their family. And if a member of their family has a medical emergency, you will pay to address that medical emergency.
Exactly. I mean, the respondents in our survey just had an outpouring of love for their pets, and they were happy to sacrifice their own financial well-being if it means they don't have to see their pets in pain. A lot of people said they postponed or canceled vacations, they depleted their savings, or they can't pay their other bills, but to them, they don't regret it. They say it's worth it in order to keep, like you said, their furry family members happy and healthy.
And the survey also found that 37% of pet owners use credit cards to cover medical expenses. So if you're carrying a balance because of that emergency pet procedure, you're paying an interest rate north of 20%. And I would imagine even though the debt can be burdensome, it's worth every penny.
You know, it is tough with interest rates still being quite high, and you know, the most common way that people paid was credit cards, but a lot of people also paid with medical care credit cards, such as Care Credit. But a third were able to borrow for friends and family because, you know, if you're borrowing from the bank of mom and dad, you might not have to pay interest or go through a credit check. And you just want to make sure that you're, of course, making that payment back. You don't want to turn any relationship sour, but borrowing from friends or family is probably a more money-saving way to do it when compared with credit cards especially.
We're talking about spending on emergency services for your pet with Erica Giovanetti, reporter for U.S. News and World Report in Washington. Pet owners who took out debt for their furry friends owed, on average, about $2,600. And even though when we're talking about medical procedures for a dog or a cat, we're going to be talking about the pets that are at an advanced age. But we're 4 years out, Erica, America from the first wave of pandemic pets when families all together at home because of COVID-19 went out and adopted a dog just to pass the time. So this is something that's going to become a real issue for a lot of families going forward as COVID-19 gets smaller in the rearview mirror.
You know, I feel like it doesn't even need to be said because most people just know having a pet is a serious financial commitment. And a lot of people in our survey say that they took that responsibility very seriously. So when we're coming up on that time, 4 years, like you said, out from the pandemic, there's chances are you're going to end up dealing with a couple of vet bills that are going to run into the thousands, whether it's, you know, to treat something common or whether it's just, you know, combined vet bills from all the times that you've had this pet. And I would say, you know, of course, always doing what you can to work on your emergency savings in case, you know, goodness forbid, that day does come where you have to take your pet to the emergency vet, you're able to cover it in savings. But, you know, a lot of people who might not have that savings, if they do choose to go into debt, just try to limit the amount that you pay by, you know, getting a second opinion from different vets, looking at low-cost clinics, and just finding any way to put that money back in your pocket.
Erica Giovannini, reporter, U.S. News and World Report, Washington, D.C. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, what to do with leftover money from a 529 college savings plan.
It's compounding your interest with an economy of words. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Some families make the happy discovery there are some unused funds in a 529 college savings plan, but what should you do with that money? Let's get some direction from Craig Bolanos, founding partner and chief executive officer of the Wealth Management Group, with offices in Inverness and Downers Grove. Craig, thank you for joining us today. And when I informed a colleague that we were going to do a segment on what you can do with your leftover college savings money, she literally laughed out loud. This implies that having some money left over in your college savings fund once you're done is about as rare an occurrence as finding a blue lobster, Craig.
Laughing too, because you're right. The cost of college is such a ginormous hill for all of us to climb as parents or grandparents. But if you're lucky enough to have some money left over, there are options that everybody needs to know. And Rob, the first one is relatively new. Rob, did you know that if you have monies that are unused because they weren't required for college, you can take that undistributed balance in a 529 college savings plan and repatriate or roll it to a Roth IRA? And who doesn't get excited about getting more money into the tax-free safety zone of the Roth IRA?
I was going to say, you're going from one major life investment vehicle, college savings, into the other, which is saving for retirement. One interesting way to use that unused money is to put it right back into your college education and pay off some of those student loans.
Absolutely. So many people have student loans, and under the first version of the SECURE Act in 2019, you can take a one-time distribution tax-free from a 529 plan to pay off up to $10,000 in student loans. So that just makes sense for all the right reasons.
And if you are a parent and you're trying to be pragmatic, another thing you can do is just change the beneficiary. And that sounds like if you change the beneficiary, you're just using the balance from the one account and then moving it over to a sibling's account.
Rob, I'll be vulnerable. My oldest son, Connor, due to scholarships and AP credits, was able to finish his college with money left over in his 529 plan, and we were able to move that unused balance to his younger brother, Gavin. It was nothing more than a signature, and that's a great optionality for families with multiple children.
And then what if you just want to withdraw the money outright?
You know, if you want to withdraw the money outright because you want to buy a boat, you want to go on vacation, you most certainly can. We just have to remember that if you're going to withdraw the money outright, you're going to have to pay income taxes on the gains, and you're also going to pay a 10% premature or excise tax on any of the earnings. So I think for most people, moving it to a Roth IRA, changing beneficiaries, any of these facets is a better option. But if you need the money back for a non-qualified education expense, at least there's an off-ramp for you to get access to those funds as well.
Craig Bolanos, founding partner and chief executive officer of the Wealth Management Group in Inverness and Downers Grove. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Tower. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Chicago Police Superintendent Larry Snelling is asked about a crime targeting a delegate to the Democratic Convention. The event is set to crescendo tonight with Kamala Harris's acceptance speech. In Technology Thursday, some schools ban or limit cell phone use. Issues of personal safety then come into play. And home sales rose in July for the first time in 5 months. WBBM Business, the markets are lower. The Dow is now down 210 points, NASDAQ down 176, and the S&P 500 is down 34. We have 74 degrees right now at O'Hare under mostly sunny skies. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. City leaders held a news conference this morning to update security and enforcement during the Democratic convention. Chicago Police Superintendent Larry Snelling was asked a question about a delegate from Texas who was reportedly robbed at gunpoint overnight.
That's something that we're still investigating. Obviously, there was something there, but we're still looking a little deeper into that to get more information on it.
The incident happened around 2 o'clock this morning on Randolph near LaSalle. Vice President Kamala Harris is set to accept the Democratic nomination for president this evening. Amy Dacey is the executive director of the Sign Institute on Policy and Politics at American University.
I think she'll talk about what immigration means in this country, what the work is on the border, what has to happen for, you know, sensible immigration reform. And so probably talk about the fact that there was that opportunity to do that and that Trump really got in the way of it.
Stay with us for the coverage of the final day of the Democratic convention, including the Harris speech this evening. You'll find more on the DNC in Chicago under the Election Central tab at WBBMNewsRadio.com. You'll also find images and updates on our social media. Just search for WBBM News Radio. It's 11:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues. Stocks are trading lower. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade in Chicago. JJ, thank you for joining us today. It seems like traders are hedging their bets ahead of the big Jay Powell speech in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, later this week.
Absolutely, Rob. And, the first place you see it is in the VIX, the Volatility Index. Up about 15% so far on the day today. So we're seeing, as you would expect, actually, in a lower market, volatility to go a bit higher. But I think you're also seeing people perhaps buying it, buying some protection, if you will, through options in a much more aggressive way than we've seen recently, or at least since the Monday sell-off we had a couple weeks ago. And the other thing that's really interesting to me as I look around is that we're seeing people selling bonds today, actually forcing the 10-year rate higher on the day, which I think may be a little bit of a surprise to many people as we head into Chairman Powell's speech tomorrow.
And the smart money suggests that he's going to lay the groundwork for cutting rates at their meeting in September. Obviously, he will give himself a little bit of an out, saying, we'll cut if the conditions warrant. But it seems like he's priming the pump to start the rate cutting cycle.
Absolutely. And I think, that's certainly the expectation as you look at the CME FedWatch tool, and the probabilities are a quarter point rate hike at the next meeting. Some people are leaning toward a half point rate hike, although I tend to doubt that personally, just because if you look at the chairman, the history of Chairman Powell, he tends to be very deliberate in what he does. As you just said, saying as long as the data supports it, the data overall does seem to support it, especially when we look at that jobs revision we saw of 810,000 less than we initially thought, and we have jobless claims a little bit higher today. So those are the types of things that he will be looking at, because I think people sometimes forget that, for the market, particularly in the short term, rate cuts tend to be good. But the reason they happen usually is not always good reason, unless people having jobs is certainly not a good reason.
I feel like if you go back throughout the entire history of this this Fed tightening cycle, even going back to the end of 2022, when inflation really did become a problem, it's almost a cliche to say that we're at a pivotal moment, because they were all pivotal moments. But we're talking about the soft landing. That soft landing is in sight. And it seems like right now, when you determine how do you cut interest rates, that could determine the trajectory or the intensity of this soft landing scenario.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you have the camp of people who are saying that we're actually late to the party to be doing this. And then the other end of it is, are we doing it, at the perfect timing, et cetera. At the end of the day, it's the markets, it's the economy. It's never truly going to be perfect. And so I think when people talk about soft landing, they have to put their perceptions in the right buckets also. At the end of the day, it's not going to go perfectly overall. What he's really looking to do is to truly not upset the economy. It's not to make everything, there's no harm at all. There will be some harm. There always is. Will the harm be to a minimum? And that's why, as I said, one of the side effects of this happening is usually, unfortunately, that there are people losing their jobs. That's a really bad effect of things, but it does take pressure off inflation because people have less money to spend.
J.J. Kinahan, CEO, IG North America, president of Tasty Trade in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, dealing with cell phone limits or bans in schools.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. The number of school districts placing restrictions or bans on cell phones is growing. Such actions are raising concern for students and parents. Welcome in Jennifer Jolly, Tech Life columnist for USA Today, founder, editor-in-chief of Techish.com based in San Francisco. Jennifer, thank you for joining us today. And oh boy, can you think of a more emotional topic that can send parents off into a frothing rage than the discussion of cell phones and their kids, or for that matter, cell phones and adults, and just being present around their kids.
Yeah.
It's a very fraught topic, but let's take it one at a time. And a lot of schools are implementing cell phone bans for a variety of reasons. And Jennifer, what kind of concerns are these bans raising with parents?
I was just looking. Evanston High School in Chicago is banning cell phones during class, and they can have them in a caddy, but during any instruction time, they have to be tucked away. So that's just one area it's really hitting locally. But we are seeing these bans. Kids are heading back to school
with more bans than they have ever faced before. Some of the strictest bans on smartphones in the classroom since really smartphones were invented.
Now, the reason why these districts are cracking down on cell phone usage is not so much as distractions in the classroom, even though I can't imagine this flu, even before we had greater research on just the impact that social media has on young minds. This is also a mental health tool these days, because we're starting to see more and more studies about how social media is being linked to all sorts of negative mental health outcomes.
Yeah, that's right. And educators, lawmakers, even some students now say that cell phones are a constant distraction that take a toll on academic performance and mental health. And the studies, the statistics, they're adding up like crazy. I've been working on a series of stories around this, and it can take kids are getting, right now it says 97% of kids use their phones at school. The average student gets 60 notifications during school hours in a single day and spends 43 minutes, about the same length of a full class period, on their phone. And it can take up to 20 minutes for teen brains to refocus on learning after one distraction. So that's why these bans are happening. And one of the biggest problems in bans taking effect are parents. It's the parents and their own anxiety and wanting to remain tethered and hovering over their kids 24/7.
Look, I understand that. I really do. I think as a parent, you want to make sure your kids are either in sight or virtually in sight. So I do understand that concern. How can they get in touch with us if there's an emergency? How can I keep tabs on them either via a phone or a watch? I mean, it used to seem dystopian, but it also provides a great deal of peace of mind.
Yeah, many people are now, you know, there's Jonathan Haidt's book, The Anxious Generation. There's all kinds of new books out saying, okay, well-meaning parents have overprotected kids now in the physical world and underprotected them in the online world. So as much as, and I fully relate to that fear being real as well. My daughter, when she was in her sophomore year of high school, there was an active shooter outside of her high school. And from the moment that school sent us a notification that they were on lockdown, active shooter, I lost my mind. They said, parents, you need to stay away. Don't text or call your kids. I mean, for those couple of hours, your life has ended, you know, as you know it. And when she was allowed to get her phone and text me, everything was okay. So I get that. The fear is real. But the damage that it's doing for them to be constantly tethered to parents by tech is real as well. So how do you strike a balance between needing to get in touch with them and also leaving them alone and letting them grow up as we were able to?
Jennifer Jolly, Tech Life columnist for USA Today, founder, editor-in-chief of Techish.com in San Francisco. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The report on the sale of previously owned homes in July shows a month-to-month rise of 1.3%. Let's take a closer look with Steve Kirch, Chicago-based real estate and housing expert. Steve, thank you for joining us today. And once again, more proof that as home buyers see a little bit of 30-year fixed rate mortgage relief, they're going to pounce.
Yeah, Rob, we did see an uptick for the first time in 5 months, at least in those monthly figures. The year-over-year sales were still down about 2.5% nationally, but we are getting some relief, and certainly at least across the country, we've seen a pretty good increase in inventory over the last year. About 20% more homes were on the market at the end of July than a year ago. So that's continuing this trend we're seeing of getting a little bit more home buyer friendly here, people having a little more choice as they go out into the market.
And then locally, what does the Chicago real estate market look like?
So Chicago itself, the city itself, is kind of counter-cyclical here. We actually saw a decline in inventory of about 8.5% year over year in July. So things are tightening up there. Sales were pretty much in line with the national, although a little bit better, up almost 6% in the metro area and 5% in the city. Inventories, while they went down in Chicago, in the metropolitan area overall, they were up about 4%. And of course, you can't escape rising prices, right? Those are the home prices continue to rise at a pretty sizable clip, about 6% in Chicago, 8% metro area overall. So even though we got some inventory relief for buyers, we're not getting much price relief.
And on top, even though this could be a real headache for buyers or sellers, if you're standing pat, that pile of equity that you enter and exit on a daily basis just continues to grow.
Right. And that's also another reason why homeowners who do have significant equity in their homes might consider staying put, because they can always tap that home equity. And with the Fed about to lower interest rates, those home equity loans are also going to be getting cheaper in the not too distant future.
Steve Kurtz, Chicago-based real estate and housing expert, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your insight. If you missed any part of today's program, just go to our stream and skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the Odyssey app.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.